Austin 316 says I just whipped your... there and call yourself the gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
What?
I said shut up. You can kiss my ass.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
What?
And that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold sets up.
Welcome to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. This week is episode 142, Who's Next? And we are covering January through February of 2004. I'm Mike Frew, along with JV. JV, how you doing?
Doing well, man. How are you doing? You're on vacation, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm on school vacation, February vacation, and you know, we're heading to the end of it. So, you know, I went up to Maine in the beginning of the week and, you know, just fucking fought it around in the middle of the week, and here we are at the end of the week, and I think we're gonna have some snow again. I don't know how bad it's gonna be, but you know,
eight to twelve inches is what I heard.
8 to 12 inches? What the fuck? I thought we were getting less.
At the comic book shop a couple hours ago.
Hopefully, they were fucking high on something.
Unfortunately, they're usually accurate. Those fucking burnouts. Are they? Yeah. I even made a point when I asked, I'm like, you guys are usually good with this. What's it going to be? They're like 8 to 12 inches. I'm like, fuck. What
the fuck? Damn it. I'm sick of shoveling snow. It's fucking the end of February. And if we get that much now, then that means it's going to go on throughout March, too. That blows.
I mean, it was fucking like 60 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, 60 degrees. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, nice. And I kind of knew it was going to start to get colder because I knew by the end of the week it was going to be snowing again. But yesterday it was 60. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to run. So I got ready to go outside. And I went outside and turned right around.
I wore shorts to the gym yesterday. I put the joggers away. It was what was the temperature running?
30.
It was like, what time was that?
8 o'clock.
That's impossible.
It was 30 degrees out. 8 o'clock.
It was
this morning.
This morning, you're saying?
This morning.
Yeah. Oh, I think about yesterday morning. Yesterday morning, I thought it was 44 degrees when I went.
No, so yesterday, I would say it was nice out. So I was like, oh, it's all nice. So today, I was like, all right, I'm going to go back out. It's nice. It was 30 degrees, and I just spun around and one in the basement and one on the elliptical instead.
Yeah, this morning sucked. I was like, I knew I should have put the heat higher before I went to bed yesterday. I woke up all cold.
Well, yeah, that's New England for you, and whatever. Wherever you listen to this, I hope your weather's better.
Yeah,
but probably not. It's pretty shitty everywhere. It's crazy because sometimes you'll see like in Texas, it's fucking 40 degrees. It's like holy shit! You think it'd be warm down there? It's fucking freezing down there too.
Then Georgia gets snow, and it's like the fucking apocalypse. We got fucking an inch of snow. You see cars sliding on the highway. We're like, what? An inch?
So enough of the weather. So, you know, this shit going around the world, fucking, yeah, we talked about it. Ukraine, blah, blah, blah. We won't talk about that here. That's going on. But last week we had talked about Stone Cold, and I just wanted to, you know, I said I would give an update, and, you know, there's nothing to update on Stone Cold coming to WrestleMania 38 this year. So that was a big hyped up story and then died down. Nothing has been said at all. But I will say, though, I did watch some of Raw, and Kevin Owens continued to talk shit about Texas. Now, how everybody in Texas sucks. Something to that effect. So he might be planting the seeds. And if Austin's coming back, he's not going to come back for weeks, February into March. He'll come back like 2 weeks before WrestleMania. That's it. So.
Which makes sense. I mean. Yeah. I did see you fact check, like you kind of like called out an article today for clickbait.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I did. Yep.
I meant to go back to it and I couldn't find it again.
Yeah, so the article was, I don't even know, it was like e-wrestling. I had never even heard of it.
Yeah, it was like a whack ass fucking, it was a clickbait site. It'll probably be fucking rebranded. It'll probably be that page will be sold. for like $200, depending on how many likes it has, and it'll get rebranded as like a fucking like porn site or something. That's what happens. You ever look at your likes, the really? Page you like on Facebook?
Yeah, that is porn like, shit.
Not sometimes just random shit. Like, huh? And then it hit me because like I learned, I got educated, and I and I realized, oh, that's like that's a business on social media. So like, oh, I got a certain amount of this. I don't want to run this page anymore. It has X amount of likes, and you can sell it. And then the new owner of the site will just rename it. Yeah. Pages, Twitter accounts. But anyhow.
So it was E-Wrestling News. And the headline was, Stone Cold refused to make in-ring return after learning he'd lose. So everybody that sees that right away is thinking, oh, shit, Stone Cold turned down the match because he was going to lose. So I look at him like, that doesn't make fucking any sense. Like, come on. It's been a week and haven't heard shit about it. Now they're saying he's declined it.
E-Wrestling News.
Yeah, E-Wrestling
News. Didn't hear it anywhere else, just on E-Wrestling
News. Yeah, E-Wrestling News.
Or whatever the fuck.
But the first thing I like to do is check out people's comments. And it's always comments such as like, oh, good to see Austin hasn't changed.
Yeah, they didn't read the article.
Right, they don't read the article. And then people are like, oh, this article's 2 years old. And, I had read it too. Because like, let me fucking read this right away. And it's about Jonathan Coachman. Like in 2005. Which is a year after what we're covering right now. And for him to come back and lose to Coachman. Yeah, no shit he's going to say no. He's not going to come back for that bullshit. But I love it the way they use the story to do exactly what that is. Clickbait. And they got 886 likes on this story. Shit ton of comments. And yeah, like JV said, it probably become a porn site. Oh, man. But yeah, so nothing new in that development. But we'll keep an eye on it. And even when the story does start to progress, if it does, we can't say too much, JV, because we got to save it for a whole episode.
Yeah.
And we're only episodes away from it being to that point. So if that shit does go down, we'll have an episode on it in like 2 months, probably. 2 or 3 months. Alright, so with that said, man, we gotta fucking get to it. We got our continuation of our story here in January. We're gonna wrap up January and then into February of 2004. Last week was episode 141, A New Sheriff in Town. And we had Stone Cold Steve Austin make his return. He came up on his ATV, his four-wheeler, and he's the sheriff, and he's not putting up with any bullshit. So that's going to continue more so this week, and we're also going to be building to WrestleMania. So we mentioned it in the title here, Who's Next? So we all know what that reference is, right? Goldberg! Goldberg! I love saying my Goldberg. That's my best Stone Cold impersonation, is the Goldberg. I just pat myself on the back for that. But yeah, so, we got the Goldberg build-up happening here. We know that leads to WrestleMania 20. So it's all going to start here on this episode. But before we get to it, let me just give us some plugs here. You can follow us on Twitter at BottomLineCast. Follow me, Mike Prue, at MPRU83. Follow JV at John Van Damage. And also, please take some time to give us a 5-star review and a write-up if you have time for that, if you're so inclined, on Apple Podcast. That would be greatly appreciated. All right, so let's get right into it. I'm going to kick things off first with Raw 557, January 26, 2004. If you're going to check this out on the Peacock, it's Season 12, Episode 4. We're live from Hershey, Pennsylvania. We're going to get right into it with an audio clip. This is backstage at about 26 minutes into the show. It's Eric Bischoff, Randy Orton, and Stone Cold's going to pop in there. So take a listen to that, and we'll be right back to cover that material.
You gotta make it right. I don't care. Last night was my night. It was pulled away from me. It fell through my fingers. Why? Because Mick Foley. Mick Foley was not supposed to be there. It was supposed to be my night. You hear me?
I feel.
I don't care how you feel. How do you feel? How do I feel? Huh? Mick Foley ruined the chances of there being an All Evolution main event at WrestleMania. That was my dream.
I know
don't
it was. Want?
You know it was.
More superstars than anybody. I mean, it should have been you.
I know I did. I know I did. You know why I know I did? Because I'm that good. I'm that good. I've learned from the best. I'm in evolution. We are all that, Eric, and more. This is what I want from you. I've been hearing rumors all day that Mick Foley is supposed to show up tonight. What I want from you, Eric Bischoff, is a license, permission to beat his ass. As soon as I see Mick Foley, as soon as I lay eyes on him, he's mine. Make it okay.
Permission granted.
Make it right.
Permission granted.
They weren't rumors you were hearing. That happens to be a stone cold fact. Mick Foley will be here tonight because I invited him. Now you can try to whip his ass all you want. I don't know if he can, but you ain't gonna get a chance to whip his ass until he gets equal time on the microphone to talk about all them silly little campaign ads you've been running on the TV. And look at me. That's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
Okay, so we had Randy Orton backstage with Eric Bischoff. And Randy's pissed off about Mick Foley attacking him the night before at the Royal Rumble. So Royal Rumble is just last week. That's the last thing we covered. And Randy's pissed off that Mick Foley came and beat the hell out of him. And Randy is whining like a little bitch right now. He's saying, you know, his dream of an All-Evolution main event at WrestleMania was ruined by Mick Foley. He wanted everybody in Evolution to be in the main event. You know, Randy wants Eric to allow him to beat Mick Foley's ass. You know, if he shows up tonight, I want to beat his ass. And Randy is just not doing a good job here. Like, Randy seems nervous here. I don't know.
He's usually
pretty good, but right here he seems kind of nervous. Like, it's not coming out the way he wants. He's not very confident with this, I can tell. And Eric tells Randy, permission granted. So he can kick Mick Foley's ass if he shows up later tonight. But then this is when Stone Cold enters the shot. Stone Cold appears, and he's chugging a Miller Lite already. And Austin tells Randy Orton that Mick Foley will in fact be here tonight because I invited him. So Austin tells Randy that he can try to whoop Mick Foley's ass all he wants, but I don't think you can. And Austin wants Mick to have time to address Orton's campaign. So Austin is going to allow for Mick to have equal time to address Orton and his campaign. So he adds that, you know, having been airing for a few weeks, you know, his campaign rather is what has been aired for a few weeks about how Mick Foley is a coward. JV covered it last episode. You know, those political campaign type commercials. I love that. Those are pretty good because it seems like it's the same voice guy. This has been paid for by Randy Orton. Blah, blah, blah. This has been paid for by Bill Clinton. You know, that kind of shit. And Austin's saying, yeah, you got to address that shit. You know, Orton's been fucking smearing your ass for weeks. So you need to have a say, Mick. So Austin tells Randy at that point then to look at me. Look at me, Randy. That's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
I love how he does that. Like, he commands his attention.
Right. Like, look at me. Like, I'm telling you this. Yeah, you're bitching, whining, you're complaining. But no, Mick Foley has a chance to rebut all the bullshit that you had put up on this TV for the last 3 weeks. And that's the bottom line, because I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm the sheriff. So, yeah, good shit there. Now, later in the show, just about 20 minutes later, we're going to have Triple H head out to the ring. And Triple H is limping. You know, he's all bandaged up. He has a bandage on his forehead. You know, he had a great battle with HBK the night before at Royal Rumble. But came out the champion still. So he's limping. Got the title still. Triple H tells the crowd that he and HBK had a great battle last night. But he's still the champion. And this prompts HBK to make his way to the ring. And HBK, he's bruised big time. Face is all bruised up. Triple H yells at HBK, "What do I gotta do to you, huh? Haven't you had enough?" So HBK responds, "You and me. I got news for you. You and me." That's one of HBK's favorite quotes. "I got news for you. You and me. We haven't even started yet." The crowd's loving it. HBK, HBK, HBK. And then we got the glass shatters. Stone Cold is back again for another segment. Here comes the sheriff on his four-wheeler. So Austin heads on out there. He circles the ring, and he's going around that ring like a madman. And before we get to the audio clip, I wanted to bring this up, JV. We need a name for this ATV or four-wheeler. You got anything in mind that off the top of your head? I didn't give it much thought, but I think I have something, but I'll see if you got something.
If I had time to think, yeah, on the spot, hell no.
I suck at that. So I guess, you know, we'll go with what I say. It's the Stone Cold. No, this sucks. This name sucks, too.
Yeah, the fact his name is starting off, that means I got to say it. Like, it's going to be like a fucking sentence.
Yeah, I know. The four-wheel is... No, we can't. Fuck it. Listen, whatever.
You know what? I got an idea. Let's leave it up to the listener.
Yeah, if you have a name.
What's the fucking name for this?
Yeah, the four-wheeler. I was going to say something stupid like the Stone Cold Runner.
Yeah, that's not... Yeah, that kind of sucks.
But... I was thinking Stunner, you know, Stunner, Runner, whatever.
Yeah, the number one Stunner. Sucks. I don't
know. The number one... Yeah, the number one Stunner. Oh, that's what we used to call the listeners back in the day, remember?
Stunners.
The number one Stunners?
Yeah.
You guys still are the number one Stunners, by the way. But yeah, please, if you have a name for the four-wheeler or ATV, what is it? Is that the same thing, an ATV and a four-wheeler?
All-terrain vehicle, yeah. It's a broader same term thing. For a four-wheeler.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. So all right, so. Correct me. Yeah. Anybody smarter than us, fucking put it out there.
I love to learn. I don't mind being wrong.
Right. So yeah, guys. Let's get a name contest out there, and we'll look at those tweets, and we'll give you the credit next week when you give us the name of the four-wheeler, because it's not going to be around for a while, because Stone Cold's not going to be around for that much longer. All right, so anyway, take a listen to this clip. Stone Cold's here, he's on his four-wheeler, and we'll be right back.
...out here tonight, and the crowd's saluting the sheriff back.
Just a second. You know, it's a damn shame that last man standing match wound up in a tie. Because the rules say in the event of a tie, the champion retains the title. The bloodshed, the brutality, the carnage that took place in this ring last night reminds me of something right out of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh. Good point.
Shawn Michaels, I said this once. I'll say it again. You deserve a damn rematch.
Uh-oh. Damn right he does. Damn right he does. Triple H doesn't think so.
Problem is, I ain't out here to make matches. I'm out here to uphold the law. Now, the rules state that the winner of the Royal Rumble goes on to WrestleMania to face the champion. Now, what the rules don't state is which champion that winner faces. Shawn Michaels, like I said, you wrestled your ass off last night. You wrestled one hell of a match. But you did not win the Royal Rumble. Chris Benoit did. So right now, I'd like the winner of the 2004 Royal Rumble to come out here to this ring.
So Austin hits the ring, he salutes the crowd, he hits all four corners as usual, and he grabs the mic. He goes on there and says, "It's a damn shame that last man standing match ended up in a tie." Austin says that the title didn't change, but because of all the bloodshed last night, it reminded him of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That was a fucking damn good movie. He's referencing you know, 2003 Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
which was that's what Jessica Biel and shit, right?
Yeah, Jessica Biel. Yep, it was the
reboot. That was awesome.
That was fucking damn good. Loved that movie.
There's a new one out.
I hadn't watched the new one.
My brother loved it. I couldn't get through it. It was corny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it kind of sucked. I'm going to give it another chance, though.
From what it looked like, I watched the trailer. It looked like it was supposed to be like Halloween. Like the new Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis tracking down Michael Myers and trying to kill Michael Myers.
Kind of.
It's like they turned that whole theme
into Texas. Now picture that as like a sci-fi production, and that's kind of what you get.
Sci-fi, really?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Ugh. Your brother had said that the murders are gruesome and shit.
Yeah, the gore,
which is fine. It's
cheesy
gore.
It's like cheesy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they did a hell of a job at the 2003 Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
If I watched it with my brother, I'd probably love it. But watching it alone was kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, I can understand that. That was a good time for horror movies, though, 2003.
Yeah, the Rob Zombie shit ended up coming
right,
out.
Right, the Rob Zombie, the Devil's Rejects.
That was a, like a
House
resurgence.
Of the Thousand Corpse.
Well, they were going with like that 70s,
yeah,
early 80s vibe.
Right, and that's what Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2003 was like.
Yep.
It was back to that 70s feeling. Now, this newer one, did it take place in the 70s as well?
I already forget, but I'm pretty sure it was modern day.
Oh, really? Fuck modern day. I don't want to see shit in the modern day. Bring me back in time to watch a movie. This world's fucked up as it is. I don't want to see more horror.
Even like
in modern
his day. His mask was kind of whack. Like the way he gets them, and I don't know.
All right.
You'd have to, like I said, I kind of tuned out pretty quickly. I was like, ah, this is fucking corny. Like right away, just the colors. You know what I mean? Like the production value.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't terrible, but
I can take you right out of it.
Yeah, you just knew. It's like, this is not, like, top tier. It's crisp, it's clean looking, but it just seems, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not a movie buff, but, you know.
Yeah. Hey, you don't need to be a buff to know something you don't like. Yeah. So, you don't like it, you don't like it. But anyway, Austin does bring up Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I appreciated that because that was a hit. I thought at the time, at least in my opinion, even though this is, I guess, a few months after the fact, maybe you just got it on videotape, just got it at Blockbuster. It would have been on DVD, actually, at that point. So, yeah, maybe you got the DVD. Anyway, so Austin's going to tell HBK that he does deserve a rematch against Triple H. So Triple H is pissed off. Austin says that he's not here to make matches, but he's there to uphold the law. I am the law. That's what we forgot to do last week. We forgot to add the Judge Dredd audio clip. I am the law. All right, so Austin says, the rules state that the winner of the Royal Rumble goes to WrestleMania to face the champion. Now, what the rules don't state is which champion the winner faces. So, I guess this is when they maybe first decide that the winner has a choice. Which champion does he want to face at WrestleMania? So Austin tells HBK that, you know, you wrestled your ass off last night against Triple H, but you didn't win the Royal Rumble. Chris Benoit won the Royal Rumble, and he has the title shot at WrestleMania. So good. Laying down the law. HBK thinks he's going to come out because he fucking tied in the championship match. He thinks he gets another shot. I mean, it could be as simple as this. Stone Cold just says, oh yeah, there is a pay-per-view in between. Although it's a SmackDown pay-per-view. But still, nonetheless, you could say, well, you get another title shot then, before WrestleMania, because you tied. And then Chris Benoit faces the winner of that match. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
No? But we'll see what happens from there. Stone Cold does request that the winner of the 2004 Royal Rumble come on down. So here we go. We got Chris Benoit heading down to the ring. And then from there, we're just going to continue on. No audio clip. Chris Benoit makes his way down to the ring. And remember, he is a member of SmackDown at this point. So he's on Raw now. But here he is, here on Raw. Triple H is bitching to Stone Cold. How can this be? Chris Benoit gets into the ring. He stares down HBK and Triple H. Stone Cold gives the mic to Benoit. Benoit tells Triple H and HBK that he can tell that he's the last person they expected to see tonight. trying to be badass, the Wolverine. Benoit mentions that he recognizes that they both went through hell last night because they both look like shit. They're all bandaged up and fucking beat up. He says, but so did I. And he did. Chris Benoit was the number one entry in the Rumble, won the Rumble, and has the record now for the longest time in the Rumble match. 1 hour and 1 minute.
Yep.
Benoit says that whether it's HBK or Triple H at WrestleMania, he will fulfill his destiny. I will be the next World Heavyweight Champion. They all stare each other down. So Benoit has made it clear that he's going for the World Heavyweight Championship, which is Triple H's title. He's not going for the WWE Championship, which is held by Brock Lesnar on SmackDown. So this is now committing Benoit to being on Raw. So what we have here is a jump. Benoit's jumped from SmackDown to Raw now at this point because he's going for the World Heavyweight Championship. Well, that's kind of strange because they don't often do that over the years. Just have somebody just jump sides and go for another title. It's happened here and there. But usually it's pretty straightforward. If you're on that show, that's what you're going to go for.
But I think that's just part of the problem with wrestling. There's lack of consistency in what we should expect from stuff like this.
Right.
It's like, what do you mean the guy just jumps shit?
Right. You didn't explain any of that before the show. Well, if we knew that as viewers of the Royal Rumble, then that could change who we thought was going to win the Rumble.
Right. Yep.
Like, oh, well, who are they going to go after? Because that is not something that came up. Is whoever wins gets the pick. That was not stated at all.
Nope.
My recollection. And I watched all the fucking shit.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't see it in the shit I watched. But you watched the full episode. You have attention to detail. You definitely would have.
And I didn't notice that at all. So that's just one thing. But anyway, it shakes things up, I guess. And you know, it seems like WWE has always been flying by the seat of their pants with storylines. Just like, all right, let's go with this now. All right, let's go with Chris Benoit. And, you know, we can have him go after Triple H, and we'll shake things up with Lesnar. See what happens there, because things will shake up with Lesnar, as you'll hear by the end of this episode. And JV is going to cover that, but JV, you're going to cover the next episode on Raw 558 from February 2nd, 2004. Take us away, JV.
All right, thanks, Prue. So yeah, we're in State College, Pennsylvania now. February 2nd, 2004. And our coverage here kicks off with a audio clip for you. And it's a backstage segment between Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. And he wants a title shot. So give it a listen. It's only a little over a minute long. And we'll come back and talk about it.
Uh-oh. Hey! The sheriff is in town. Stone Cold! He's here!
Hey, Shawn. What's going on with you? There's something about you just completely different. You down in the dumps? Just because Chris Benoit is here on Monday Night Raw, you maybe figure you're out of the world championship picture? Is that what I'm getting out of you? Because that's what I feel.
It is what it is, Steve.
Oh, well, you know what? I said it once, I'll say it again. You deserve a rematch for the world title. You know, so basically what I'm asking you is, what are you going to do about it?
What do you mean, what am I going to do about it? I'm not going to do anything about it.
Well, Shawn Michaels ain't going to do nothing about it. Here's a guy, okay, you've never said no to anything that's ever been asked of you here. Or else you never would have been one of the greatest champions of all time. To come back from the back injury that you came back from.
What do you want from me? Benoit won the Rumble. He's in, and I'm out. It's that simple.
Man, I'll make it real simple for you. You want a shot at the title? Do something about it.
Wow. I want to tell you.
All right. So Stone Cold Steve Austin here. He's going to confront HBK backstage. He asks HBK what's going on with him. you know, because Shawn Michaels kind of doesn't look like himself, which he hasn't looked like lately. Yeah, he's kind of like down and out. He's borderline depressed looking. And Austin's alluding to him being depressed, you know, for, you know, is it because you're out of the world heavyweight title picture?
He lost his smile again.
yeah. So HBK basically says, yeah, you know, Austin, it is what it is. So Stone Cold Steve Austin reassures Shawn Michaels that he indeed does deserve a rematch for the title. But HBK isn't going to do anything about it. So Stone Cold's, you know, he's suspicious. He knows something isn't right here because Shawn Michaels, you know, he's the guy that's never said no to anything he's asked to do around here. And all I can think of is like, is that a shot at
what?
The screw job? You know? Like,
yeah.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin basically starts gassing up HBK, ranting about how HBK's the guy and he's getting him all hyped up. But it's not working. HBK just isn't having it. So finally HBK breaks down and, you know, says to Austin, like, you know, what do you want from me? You know, it's simple. Benoit won the Rumble, and, you know, now I'm out of the picture. So Austin says, well, you know, I'm going to make it simple for you, HBK. You want a shot at the title? Do something about it. So nice little back and forth there.
Yeah, nice line, too.
You know, for a minute, it kind of, I like how it gets right to the point. It doesn't drag out. You know, hey, like, Austin's trying to get him amped up. But then, you know, all I could think of, too, is, like, he tried this with Kane. And it kind of went like he wanted the old Kane back. And that kind of went very sour for him.
Yeah, it went haywire.
So hopefully he learned from those mistakes with Kane as a co-GM and now is, like, sheriff.
And that's why he got in trouble as a co-GM, was by antagonizing people.
So hopefully he's learned from that. And HBK doesn't, like, start trying to kill people. So from there, we're going to move to a backstage segment. And we're going to follow Shawn Michaels. And he's going to be here with Randy Orton. So HBK is backstage. He's got his boot up on the, you know, on like a bench or something. And he's cleaning it. And Orton kind of, you know, he walks over. He's all curious. And HBK clarifies to Orton that, you know, what he's cleaning is actually Hunter's blood from his boot. You know, it's a callback to their epic fight. Yep. Their bloody mess. So Orton kind of takes that as if, like, HBK is trying to intimidate him. So Orton reassures of HBK, you know, like, hey, I'm not intimidated by this. So HBK asks him, you know, sarcastically, what are you going to do? Hit me with the belt? Because, mind you, that's basically what Randy Orton did to Mick Foley. So Orton tells HBK, you know, hey, I know you're frustrated because you'll never get a title at the Shot again. Low blow. But,
shot at the title, yeah.
Yep. So Orton tells HBK, you know, I'm going to beat you tonight because they have a match coming up later in the show, just like I did to Mick Foley. And when I do, I'm going to further cement myself as being the legend killer. So now HBK's, you know, kind of triggers him a little. He tells Orton, you know, you better be incredibly careful with me tonight. Otherwise, it'll be your blood at the end of this boot tonight.
Nice.
So, nice little line there.
Yeah.
Again, good. And, you know, that belt comment will play out later in the show, which I'll cover.
Yeah, with the shot. What are you going to hit me with the belt? That line? Yep.
So, from there, we're gonna move into another audio clip for you. This one's a little bit longer. It's just under 2 minutes. And it's Stone Cold Steve Austin and Goldberg. So, give that a listen. And we'll be right back.
Dad, Elvis.
What's up, brother?
You doing all right?
Same old man, you know.
Hey, I want to come here and talk to you about something. You know, SmackDown's got a pay-per-view coming up in San Francisco here in a couple of weeks called No Way Out. And, you've been hearing the comments Brock Lesnar's been making about you, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not coming here to stir you up or anything, get on your feathers, but I'm just telling you like it is. You probably heard it. But you know what the main event is, right? It's Latino Heat, Eddie Guerrero versus
Oh, Brock Lesnar. And see, I happen to have a good buddy in San Francisco, and he sent me this ticket. And it's a front row ticket right there by the ring. And I can't go because I'm booked up. I got other things to do. So I figured, hey, since Stone Cold Steve Austin can't go, I figured I'd pass along a favor to old buddy. And I thought maybe I'd give you this ticket. If you ain't doing nothing, maybe you'd... No, hold it. Now, if you take this ticket, Bill, and you're sitting on the front row watching Brock Lesnar,
yeah.
Well, I want you to know if you go, you're not just going to represent Raw. You're representing the good name of Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, enjoy yourself. And, Bill, don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Bet your ass.
All right. Have a good time.
Wow. My gosh. Wow. You gotta be kidding me.
All right, so anytime I see kind of like, you know, that Stone Cold and Goldberg are going to be together in a scene, I just think like, what could have been? Like, maybe these guys were supposed to have a big feud.
They should have had a match at WrestleMania 20 coming up.
Yeah.
This is what should be building to.
I know it's not going to happen. Right. But in my mind, I still think, maybe this will happen.
You know? Like, this is the best time to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
So, just to recap what you just heard, Austin is backstage, and he knocks on Goldberg's dressing room door, and which is weird. He knocks, but like I listened to it twice, and I don't hear Goldberg saying like "come in." You know, Austin just kind of lets himself in.
Yeah, he's just like "knock, knock, I'm coming in, motherfucker. I'm the sheriff.
Come be a dick. I'm coming in."
Are you decent?
These guys are wrestlers. Like they probably fucking who knows.
Right? Are you decent in there? I'm coming in.
Yeah. So Austin asks Goldberg, "I'm like cover your dick, like he's coming in with the camera for television.
Cover your dick.
You know, like camera's coming because that's the other thing. Like Austin's not coming. He's coming in with the fucking camera crew.
Right?
Like
I'm coming in with cameras, boom mics, and lights.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we're live in College Park, Pennsylvania. So,
you gotta watch out for Jerry Sandusky, though. He might be around too.
They're too old. But
shit. That was a good one.
So, Austin asks Goldberg if he's been Austin asks Goldberg, you know, has it been a tough day at the office? You know, are you doing all right? And Goldberg just kind of tells him, you know, same old, which is like what you say to people when you don't really want to, like,
you don't want to talk.
talk about, like, how your day's going. Like, let's talk about something else. Or, like, same old, like, what's the point? Yeah, like, why are you here? So, Goldberg, you could tell, he's visibly frustrated, which you can't see because you just heard it. So, Austin starts to get to the point. He mentions the upcoming SmackDown pay-per-view, No Way Out, and asks Goldberg, you know, if he's heard about all the shit Brock Lesnar has been talking. Which Goldberg obviously has heard. Austin mentions that the main event of the pay-per-view, No Way Out, is Latino Heat Eddie Guerrero versus Brock Lesnar. And he tells Goldberg, you know what? I have an extra front row ticket to the pay-per-view that a friend gave me.
Ooh.
And Austin tells him he can't make it. And since Austin can't make it, he wants to give the ticket to Goldberg. So Goldberg grabs the ticket, but Austin pulls it back. Like, psych.
Give me that ticket. Not so
my
quick.
My ticket now, punk.
Not so quick, pal.
So Austin pulls back the ticket, and he wants to remind Goldberg that if you take this ticket and you attend, you're not just representing Raw. You're representing Stone Cold Steve Austin. And when you're there, you know, don't do anything Austin wouldn't do. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Yeah, so they get a laugh out of that because basically Austin's saying,
do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, I expect you to do what I would do.
Yeah.
Fucking raise hell.
Whatever you want. So Goldberg tells Austin, I bet your ass. And they give each other love. Now, I'm not like, you know. I didn't know what to call it, but they just kind of like...
Yeah, they were like, yeah, man, all right, cool.
Yeah. Whatever. Like, like Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predator, when they kind of just like lock hands together.
Yeah, man.
Kind of what they do. What do they call that?
I don't know. Fucking
high five? It's not a high five. I was going to put high five, but I'm like, it's not a high five. It's not like, they're like
shake hands.
Yeah, high five is like Tecmo fucking touchdown celebration. Yeah, I guess it's like a handshake.
It's a handshake. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. Whatever the fuck it is.
Fucking handshake.
It was really bothering me for like a couple of minutes. I'm like, what the fuck do you call that?
Oh, they clasp hands?
Clasp. Yeah. We got to make a word for that. We need a name for the ATV. We need a word for what Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, you guys seen that meme.
Yeah.
You guys probably just think it's like the white arm and the black arm, but you know, that's...
I'm gonna assume that 99% of the people, of our listeners, fuck it, 100% of our listeners have seen Predator and know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Carl Weathers is, it's Apollo Creed. If you don't know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is, it's the fucking Terminator. Well, and they're in that movie, Predator with the alien, and they lock hands and they flex in. It's kind of what these guys do.
And Jesse Body Ventura's in that movie, too?
Yeah. Fucking good-ass movie. Ugh. Love that movie. Anytime that movie's on, I fucking watch it.
Hey.
When I got to do something, I'm like, fuck, I just want to finish watching Predator.
Hey, Hal Haney, the artist?
Yep.
He just did a new he does split characters, mm-hmm. some of his. Like, I have Jack Nicholson, Shining, and Batman, so it's his Shining character and the Joker.
Yeah, split. That's pretty cool.
He just did a new one. It's Jesse the Body Ventura. So he's doing a whole new set of wrestlers that were in movies. So he did Jesse the Body Ventura as the wrestler, and then his character from Predator.
Oh, that's badass.
It's badass. And he just did Roddy Piper with the They Live.
They Live, yeah.
And that one was awesome,
kick
too.
Kick ass and chew bubblegum.
But I'm fresh out of bubblegum. All right.
So from there, Austin basically just tells Goldberg, you know, have a good time. So from there, we're going to move to the main event of this show, which is a non-intercontinental title match between Randy Orton and Shawn Michaels.
It was a fucking good match.
Stone Cold's going to arrive here eventually, which I'll get into. With Earl Hebner riding bitch.
And I looked at your notes and I was like, you didn't make much reference to that riding bitch in there. Yeah. But that needs to be pointed out a little bit more.
As Mike so eloquently.
That's how I labeled the segment.
Label it in the notes. Which is good.
Because he is riding bitch. He's riding like a little nerd. Like, hey, I'm on the fucking car. Yay!
He's kind of all. Yeah. It's the other guy, Mike Chioda.
Yeah, Mike Chioda gets knocked out.
He's all like fucked up on it.
Yeah. I mean, you'll get to him.
Yeah. So we're going to cover this match in two parts. It's not going to be long. So we're going to cover early in the match and then the end of the match. So early in the match, Orton accidentally drops kicks the ref, Mike Chioda, out cold when HBK ducks the dropkick attempt from Randy Orton. Randy Orton from there then tosses HBK into the ring corner, and HBK goes down hard. So we have HBK down in the ring corner. Mike Chioda, the ref, is out cold. So what's Orton do? He heads to the outside of the ring to grab his Intercontinental belt, which, you know, is a callback to the segment you know, that started the show. Started this episode. To grab his Intercontinental belt, which is exactly what HBK hinted that Orton really wanted to do earlier in their confrontation. You know, what are you going to do? Hit me with that belt, as he, you know, said. So, but before Orton can stop beating the shit out of HBK with the belt, Stone Cold Steve Austin's music hits, and the sheriff makes his way to the ring in his ATV. Austin takes the IC title away from ringside. And a fresh referee, who happens to be Earl Hebner, who was riding bitch down to the ring in the ATV with Stone Cold.
Of course it's him that has to get the fucking free ride on the ATV.
Yep.
Stone Cold's new special gimmick. Earl Hebner has to be a part of it and be on it.
Hey, Austin, can I come down to the ring with you?
It'd have been so cool.
Would have been better if he was carrying him over his shoulder and driving it, like, bring this fucking bitch-ass ref down to the ring.
Or if, like, Hebner was, like, had his legs over Stone Cold's shoulders, riding down like a little fucking baby.
This could have been so much better. So we have the fresh referee in the ring, Earl Hebner. Austin then takes the Intercontinental belt. He puts it on the ATV, picks up the downed ref Mike Chioda, and places him on the ATV too.
Hey, that's why we need a name for this, because now you're jumbling and mumbling IC and ATVs and IT titles.
Then I got HBK coming up. I'm reading my notes. I'm like, fuck. All like Morse code. So now Mike Chioda's like fucked up, like Weekend at Bernie's, just like laying on the fucking ATV. And Austin just reverses back up the way he came with the downed ref and the belt on the ATV. So from there, HBK and Orton are going to have a pretty good match. And I'm going to get into the end of that match right now. And it's so HBK rolls up Randy Orton for the win as Orton gets distracted by none other than a returning Mick Foley. So after the victory, Mick Foley starts beating the hell out of Orton and chases him through the crowd. Meanwhile, the rest of Evolution, which is Batista, Triple H, and Ric Flair make their way to the ring. Triple H takes this opportunity to beat up on HBK. Benoit comes down for the save, though, and attacks Triple H. And then HBK and Benoit have a moment in the ring together. They shake hands as a sign of respect, as you know, HBK is thanking Benoit for helping him out. And the show goes off the air. And that covers that episode of Raw. That's going to lead us into the next episode of Raw, which is Raw 559. And we're in Portland, Oregon with Mike Pro.
All right, thanks, JV. Yes, this is Raw 559 from February 9th, 2004. Again, if you're watching on Peacock, it's Season 12, Episode 6. You are live in Portland, Oregon, and we're going to kick off right away with the opening segment of the show. It's part one of a promo. It's Mr. McMahon showing up here. Mr. McMahon is on Raw, and he's going to be dealing with Goldberg.
He ain't fucking around.
Yeah, he's here. And this is always a big deal when Mr. McMahon comes around. But first, Goldberg's going to head to the rink, and he's ready for a match. So he's all dressed up in his gear, and his entrance is going on. So this is time for a match. And JR says, you know, now it's time for some action. But there's no opponent being announced. There was nothing like at the top of the show that said, Goldberg takes on so-and-so. Or nothing from last week where it's Goldberg having a match against whoever. So just like, all right, we're kicking off Raw. It's Goldberg for some action. Just for some action. Usually JR would say, Goldberg's going to take on whatever. Yeah, but just he leaves it to for some action. So anyway, JR and Lillian Garcia basically at the same point are about to announce who the opponent is. So JR is like, oh yeah, he's about to take on. And you got Lillian Garcia, Goldberg, and his opponent is, and then, no chance. That's what you got. No chance. That's what you got. And no opponent is announced because there was no fucking opponent. It was all a ruse. It was all bullshit. Mr. McMahon comes on out. Hey, you ain't got no opponent tonight. So anyway, he comes on out. Crowd's all hyped up because they're like excited. And personally, me, and I think JV, you're on the same page as me. We never loved Goldberg. Did you like Goldberg? I didn't love Goldberg. I don't know about you, but I was never excited about him. Kind of liked him maybe in the beginning of the streak in WCW.
But yeah, I didn't love him. I never loved him. I did like him when he first showed up in WCW. Then that grew old pretty quick.
Yeah. So at this point, I wouldn't have given a fuck about him. But I'm going to say, you know, just based on going back and checking these things out, these episodes, it's undeniable. People like him. And even to this day, people still like him. So there is that crowd. I mean, I'm just an asshole, I guess. I don't know. I didn't love Goldberg. But he comes out and the crowd fucking loves him. So they just want him out there. They want a match. Whereas if I was watching this at the time, on February 9th, I would have been like, eh, I don't give a fuck about Goldberg. You're old. I would have thought he was old then, in 2004.
Yeah, me too.
Because I was watching in 96. It's like, oh man, that was fucking like 10 years ago. Almost 10 years ago. It's fucking 8 years ago. You're old. But shit, man. Yeah, that shit drags out now. Now everybody's excited for people 20 years old. So anyway, there's no opponent. Mr. McMahon struts his shit to the ring. He grabs the mic. Well, I'll be damned. Vince McMahon in the same ring with Bill Goldberg. Why am I doing a Bill Goldberg impersonation while I'm trying to do Vince McMahon?
I don't know.
I lost my Vince because of Goldberg. Fuck off. It's probably because I just watched the Elimination Chamber and shit, and he was on that. So anyway, Vince tells Goldberg that there is no next tonight. Goldberg will have no opponent tonight. As of this moment, I'm officially canceling your match. And that's your explanation. And then, of course, our savior is here. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Here comes the sheriff. The glass shatters. And Austin's going to run down to the ring on his four-wheeler, on his Stone Cold Runner. That's what I'll call it for now until we get a winner. The Stone Cold Runner. The ATV. Anyway, we got a clip for you. Take a listen to this. It's Stone Cold, Mr. McMahon, and Goldberg. Take a listen. We'll be right back.
Man's face. He can't stand Stone Cold. And the feeling is mutual.
Look out. I'm having a conversation.
You're sitting there flapping your gums. I'd like to ask you one single question. What in the hell are you doing on this show? Because you've come out here, Vince, and you've already broken two of Stone Cold's laws. First of all, you're in my ring and you don't belong in my ring. Second of all, you're pissing me off.
And that's not a good thing.
So I'm going to give you a quick minute to explain yourself, then remove your little yellow carcass from my ring. Please proceed.
I've got an explanation. And the explanation is clearly this. Last week I'm watching Raw and I see you conveniently take a ringside ticket that your buddy gave you to No Way Out, conveniently have it on your person, and then you conveniently gave it to your buddy Bill Goldberg, and then, yeah, and then you had the temerity to say, now Bill, don't do anything I wouldn't do.
What's wrong with that?
There isn't a damn thing you wouldn't do. That's what's wrong with that.
Well, that's a damn thing.
There's not a damn thing you wouldn't do either. So before the two of you go any further with this, I think you need to listen to the voice of reason.
A voice of reason?
And the voice of consequences.
Ooh.
That's not my voice, because quite frankly tonight, I've invited someone.
Oh no. This is the voice of Portland. Mr. Mandis hates this. He passionately hates this.
Damn it, once again, that's 10,000 people calling you an asshole.
No, no.
Now, before you were so rudely interrupted, what were you going to say?
Last week you talked about equal time. Therefore, I have personally invited someone here tonight to give you the consequences and the reason. I've invited someone who may soil Raw forever, for that matter. And he's going to walk right down that aisle right now. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the general manager of SmackDown. He is Paul Heyman.
Oh, no, you've got to be kidding me. You're right, he may soil Raw forever. Oh, my God, I feel like I need a shower already.
All right, so as I said, Austin heads out there on his four-wheeler and Mr. McMahon is stunned. Not literally. He's just stunned. I guess it is literal, too. He is stunned in a literal sense where he can't believe what's happening. He wasn't physically stunned. Let me put it that way. He was not physically stunned.
I agree with that take.
But Austin rides around the ring. He rides up and down. He reverses down the ramp and up the ramp. He's going fucking nuts up in Portland, Oregon. And he salutes the crowd. Austin gets in there. He asks Vince, "What the hell are you doing here? What the hell are you doing here on this show? Come on here, Vince. You already broken two of Stone Cold's laws. First of all, you're in my ring. You don't belong in my ring." That's the first law he breaks. Vince McMahon does not belong in Stone Cold's ring. And the second law, I love it. Second of all, you're pissing me off. What a law that is. You can't piss Stone Cold off. That's one of the laws. Don't piss me off.
What a good law.
And of course, Jeff Jarrett's going to go on to steal that law. Don't piss me off. Maybe he already had it. Maybe Stone Cold stole from him. Yeah. Stone Cold stole from him. Like, fuck you, Jeff Jarrett. I'm taking you, fucking don't piss me off. So anyway, we continue on. Austin says he's going to let Vince explain himself before he kicks his little yellow carcass out of the ring. So Vince says that his explanation is simple. And Vince is just not happy about Stone Cold giving Goldberg a ticket to SmackDown's upcoming No Way Out, a pay-per-view coming up this Sunday. So Vince is pissed about that. And he's pissed that Austin told Goldberg to don't do anything I wouldn't do. So that's exactly what Stone Cold told Goldberg. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. So Austin says, "What's wrong with that?" Then Vince responds hilariously, "Well, there's not a damn thing you wouldn't do." "So why tell him that? That means you would do anything. He'll do anything." And Austin's laughing. "Ha ha, you caught me. Hey, you got me." Now Vince says that Austin and Goldberg need to listen to the voice of reason in the voice of consequences. So we're expecting that the voice of reason, the voice of consequences, is Vince McMahon himself. But Vince says that he's not that voice. But he's invited somebody to be that voice tonight. So the crowd starts chanting, "Asshole! Asshole!" And Austin doesn't miss a beat. You know what Austin's going to do? He's going to go right back to his old little trope here. "Once again, that's about 10,000 people calling you an asshole." 10,000 people there calling you an asshole right there. And Vince announces, he's like, "All right, fuck off, whatever. Heard that joke a million times." Vince announces that the voice of reason will be the general manager of SmackDown, Paul Heyman. So then Paul Heyman heads on down to the ring. He has a mic in hand already. So let's see what this fucking rebel rouser has to say. Take a listen to Paul Heyman. And this one's a little longer than usual for this episode. It's about 5 minutes long. Take a listen to Paul Heyman, Stone Cold, McMahon, and Goldberg. Oh my, holy shit, what a crew there. Take a listen, and we'll be right back.
Sunday in the Cow Palace,
Mr. Heyman.
Well, you certainly have a star-studded lineup out here tonight, Vince, and obviously, you saved the best for last.
Oh boy.
As for you, Sheriff Austin, using a legal loophole to coax Chris Benoit to jump from SmackDown to Raw, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, sir. But I'm not here to address you. No. I'm here to address you. Goldberg. I want to let you know to your face, Mr. Goldberg, sir, that I am not going to allow you to come this Sunday in just 6 days to No Way Out, the very first SmackDown pay-per-view of the Paul Heyman administration, and ruin my main event. A main event, I might add, that I am accountable to Vince McMahon for. That man, the chairman of the board. You see, you have a front row ticket, Goldberg, and I can't stop you from using it. In fact, I encourage you to use your front row ticket. SmackDown is the superior brand, and No Way Out will be a great show.
Oh, boy.
But you see, that's all you're going to do, Goldberg. You're going to sit in the front row like a nice boy, and you're going to watch the main event. Because you see, while you may be the big fish in the small pond known as Raw, Brock Lesnar is a shark that will eat you alive. So by the power invested in me by Vince McMahon, and with Brock Lesnar telling me to deliver this message to you, Goldberg, it goes like this. You will sit in your seat and you will watch Brock Lesnar defend the WWE title against Eddie Guerrero, and you will not interfere with Brock Lesnar's match with Eddie Guerrero. Because if you do, Brock Lesnar will deal with you, Goldberg. And by the time Brock Lesnar is done with you, nobody will ever look at you and say, who's next? They'll look at you and say, who's Goldberg? Do you understand me?
Uh-oh.
Understand this. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Brock Lesnar is next.
Oh, and by God, Goldberg means it. Brock Lesnar, in Goldberg's eyes,
you can't talk to me that way. I'm Paul Heyman. I'm Paul Heyman. You don't talk to me that way. I'm Paul Heyman. Uh-oh. It's about time. There's a real general manager here.
Paul Heyman, he needs to take that message from Goldberg back over to SmackDown and give it to Brock Lesnar. Now what? Mr. McMahon can't believe it. Stone Cold kicking Heyman out of the wrong ring and also saluting Goldberg's actions. Oh my God. Goldberg aiming for McMahon, but Goldberg just spears Stone Cold.
Oh my God, what?
The fastest I've ever seen Vince McMahon move.
McMahon running like a scalded dog, but Goldberg may have just broken Stone Cold in half. Goldberg has just speared the rattlesnake.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so Paul Heyman points out that Austin had used a legal loophole. Loophole, not hold, like it's fucking wrestling. It is wrestling, but fucking, they should call it a loophole. I got a loophole on ya. No, but a loophole to allow Benoit to jump from SmackDown to Raw. So Paul Heyman's taking that as like a fucking dig, like, Chris Benoit's my guy, and you fucking stole him. Not really, because Benoit chose that. Had nothing to do with Austin, you fucking shyster. So anyway. If Paul Heyman was a wrestler, he should have been IRS, Erwin R. Shyster.
Yeah.
He's the fucking biggest shyster there is. So from there, he says, you know, Austin should be ashamed of himself. But Paul says, you know, I'm not here to address you. I'm not here to undress you down here right now in the ring. I have bigger issues, and that is to talk to Bill Goldberg. So Paul Heyman tells Goldberg that he will not allow Goldberg to be in attendance for the first Paul Heyman SmackDown pay-per-view, No Way Out, coming this Sunday. And I will not allow you to ruin this main event. And Paul Heyman acknowledges that Goldberg does have a front row ticket. Now, this doesn't make any fucking sense, because he goes on this big whole thing like, oh, I'm not going to let you ruin the main event. But you do have a ticket, and I'm not going to stop you from being there. So what are you going to do? That's like weird. It's like he set it up like you can't fucking be there. But it's like, you have a ticket, so I guess I gotta let you be there. So yeah, you got the ticket, you can be there, but No, you're going to be there, Goldberg. You're going to be there, and you're going to sit in the front row, and you're going to watch the main event and be a nice boy. Which was kind of funny the way he said it, but it went totally against his opening commentary of how you're not going to ruin this main event. So anyway, from there, Heyman tells Goldberg that Lesnar, Brock Lesnar, will eat him alive like a shark if he does get involved in the match at all.
Which is a terrible line.
Yeah, eat him alive like a shark. Yeah.
Could have just said eat him alive.
Yeah, eat him alive. You should have said, like, Goldberg, you're like a guppy or something. And Goldberg's and Lesnar's going to eat like a shark. Whatever. So not the best from Heyman here. It was nice to see Heyman here, but I think he was just maybe a little shaky here. Being in the ring with McMahon, Austin. This is one of the big-time moments for Heyman at this point. But to continue on, he basically...
Well, he does get, like, legit creative control of SmackDown, does he not?
Oh, yeah, he's been running SmackDown, but
yeah.
He hasn't been on Raw with all these guys, either with Austin. Oh, big moment here, I think. I mean, yeah, I'm probably fucking way out of line saying that because Heyman can do anything. But it just seems that it's not so good here.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, he does rebound. And I'll get to that right now. So, Heyman tells Goldberg that, you know, he'll eat him like a shark. And he has a message to relay to him from Lesnar. And it's basically, if you get involved, Brock Lesnar's going to destroy you. And then this is the real message here. And I love this line. By the time Brock Lesnar is done with you, people won't be asking, who's next? They'll be asking, who's Goldberg? Great line.
Yep.
Now who's next? Who's Goldberg? But the sad thing about that line, I want JV to guess. JV, you going to guess? What's the sad thing about that line? If you can't think of it, I'll just go right to it.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
The sad thing about that line is it could be used in 2022.
Yeah.
We could hear that on WWE TV today.
That's kind of depressing.
Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg, yeah. Like the same.
There could be the same angle going on right now.
This might have already been said.
Yeah, right. It could have been said like last year or something.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That sucks.
Yeah. That does suck. But at this point, we got to say it's pretty good because it was new. Yeah. So Goldberg grabs the mic. Understand this. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Brock Lesnar is next. Ugh, how lame is that? Like, Heyman just came off a great line making fun of your who's next by saying, who's Goldberg? And then the first thing Goldberg says is, Brock Lesnar is next. What the? Come on, man. Give the guy a different line to say. You just made fun of his fucking line. Now you're making him say it again like a goof. Brock Lesnar is next. So anyway, Heyman acts shocked like he does. Like he does to this day. Like, oh shit, I'm scared. I was out of line. And I love that. I love that even then and today. When Heyman, you know, he gets on the mic. He's got the bravado. Strong voice. Seems like, oh, yeah, I'm intimidating you. But then the moment someone talks back to him, he shits his pants. So Heyman chucked, oh, you can't talk to me that way. I'm Paul Heyman. And just as Paul Heyman turns around, because he's spinning around saying, I'm Paul Heyman, you can't talk to me that way. He turns around, and Goldberg is setting up for a spear. He turns towards Goldberg, and boom, gets speared. Paul Heyman takes a spear. And now keep in mind, guys, Paul Heyman was like, I don't know, 80 pounds lighter, probably.
Yeah.
Nearly 100 pounds, right? It's got to be close to that.
Yeah, I thought he was overweight then, and then you look at him now, it's like...
Right, well, you look at him then, it's like, holy shit, he was in shape.
Yeah.
But yeah, Huge difference. But he fucking took the spear. He won't be able to do that today. No way. He should. Be like fucking diving into a pillow, I guess. Anyway. So, Austin's there. We forget Austin's there. He's just watching this all go down. He's like, all right, give me some beers. Give me the beers here. McMahon's there. He's pissed off. He can't believe what just happened. And Austin cracks his two beers. He starts chugging them down. Vince is yelling at Stone Cold. McMahon's he's turning to face Goldberg. And then Goldberg, and this is, you know, big spot here. So McMahon turns to Goldberg while Austin's drinking his beers. Goldberg lunges to spear McMahon, but McMahon notices and just jumps out of the railway, like, real quick. And then Goldberg just slams and spears Austin. Whew. McMahon slides out of the ring, gets the hell out of there. JR's got the call. Goldberg has just speared the rattlesnake. Goldberg has just speared the rattlesnake. And that's what's going to set up things to come.
Yep.
So from there now, just moments later, after the commercial break, Stone Cold and Goldberg have to have a little talking here. This is going to go down backstage. We got an audio clip for you. It's just less than a minute, so take a listen, and we'll be right back.
And we're live now, Austin.
Uh-oh.
You know, that was a mistake, dude. It was a mistake, absolutely. I ain't apologizing. I ain't sucking up. I'm telling you, man to man, it was a mistake. So I want to know from you, when I turn around here and walk out, should I expect a stunner when my back's turned or what? Because I thought we were cool.
I'll tell you like it is. If I do decide to give you a Stone Cold Stunner, it ain't gonna be no mistake.
I can live with that. I can live with
that. Alright, so we have Austin sitting backstage, sitting, you know, just on like one of those carts that carry the shit. And Austin's there, he's just holding on to his chest and stomach, and Goldberg comes up to him. Goldberg approaches him and says, yeah, you know, that was a mistake, dude. It was a mistake, absolutely. I ain't apologizing. Well, that's a shitty thing to say. I ain't apologizing. I ain't sucking
it's
up.
It's okay to apologize.
Yeah, you can apologize. Be a fucking man.
I hate this all, like, you should never. It's like, fuck you. Yes, you should.
Yeah. You did it by accident. When you do things by accident, yeah, you apologize. Because it was an accident. You don't apologize when things were on purpose. Yeah, that was on purpose, bro. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, you apologize when things were accidents, dumbass. So, I ain't apologizing. I ain't sucking up. I get the sucking up part because he's the sheriff and whatnot. But that first part, fuck, man. You apologize when you did something by mistake, by accident.
It's like, who raised you, motherfucker?
Yeah. Oh, my dad said I can't apologize to somebody. Then I look like a pussy. Well, you are a pussy. Anyway, I'm telling you, man to man, it was a mistake. And say I'm sorry. That's the point of a mistake. When you make mistakes, you say sorry. Don't gotta fucking teach this fucking adult here. Alright, so anyway. Goldberg wants to know, man to man, that when he leaves here, should he be expecting a stunner? Because I thought we were cool. Austin stands up. I'll tell you like it is. If I do decide to give you a Stone Cold Stunner, it ain't going to be no mistake. Just fucking right on. Let him know up front. Well, I'm going to do something to you. I'm going to do it on purpose. And I don't have to give a fucking fake-ass apology by just saying, hey, dude, it was a mistake. I'm not apologizing, though. Fuck your sorries. Goldberg nods, though. Goldberg, in this spot here, comes off like a little chump. It's like, I can live with that. I can live with that. Then he walks off. I can live with that. Hey, you better live with that, because you didn't say sorry, you fucking jerk off. I'm telling you, man, it was a mistake. No apologies.
You Drake?
No apologies. Like, I bet you him, like, riding his fucking truck. No apologies on the back bumper sticker or something. No apologies. All right, so anyway, we move on. And McMahon's now pissed off because McMahon was in the line of fire. Goldberg was going to fucking spear him, which is crazy. Why would Goldberg decide to spear McMahon? That was pretty shitty of him, too. McMahon didn't do anything to warrant that spearing. Goldberg's not even on SmackDown. He has no interaction with McMahon. So anyway, McMahon's pissed off. He goes to Eric Bischoff backstage. And McMahon says, you know, Goldberg is a certified lunatic. Your man, Bill Goldberg, is a ticking time bomb. Your man, Bill Goldberg, tried to spare me. Vince tells Eric Bischoff that Goldberg is now officially suspended. And Vince warns Bischoff that if Goldberg is at No Way Out this Sunday, it's going to be your ass. So putting Bischoff on notice that if Goldberg does anything, Eric Bischoff might be in trouble for that. And then Goldberg's trying to get the hell out of there because he's just being the biggest dickhead of all time there, trying to spear McMahon. He ends up sparing Austin, doesn't apologize, gives a half-ass apology saying, I didn't mean it, but fuck you, I'm not apologizing to you. So Goldberg gets his bags, he knows he's not wanted there, so he's leaving, and he's heading out. But Jonathan Coachman is going to catch up to him, has a few questions for him. So Jonathan Coachman asks Goldberg, what are you going to do? Where are you going? Since you've been suspended, what are you going to do, like Tom Brady, and just head on down to Disneyland? And, side note here, the Pats had just won their second Super Bowl versus the Carolina Panthers the night before. JV and I were at, Super Bowl party the night before at Nick Brawl's house. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
In the basement? His basement. Fuck,
remember I had the only beer left at the end?
Really? You had the only beer left?
Yeah, so I bought a 30-pack of Coors Light for that. You don't remember this? And then we were all really drunk and there was no beer left. And I remember at the start of the Super Bowl, I put two beers under my chair. I was sitting on the reclining chair over there. Yes. And I remember it's over and people are like, oh, there's no beer. I remember even Marty remembers this because he's brought this up. He goes, oh, there's no beer. And I just fucking pull both beers out.
Yes. And I now remember open that.
And I start drinking them like Stone Cold. And, they're like, oh, I'm like, I got beer. And I was fucking.
I now remember that.
Yeah. They bring I think Kyle up. Crofton was there. It was like a random.
Yeah, everybody was there. Well, this is like the 2003 crowd.
That crew. Yeah.
Or 2004.
Yeah, because Crofton lived down the street off Bay.
Yeah. Yep.
And, yeah. So, yeah, I definitely.
That was fun. And then we went upstairs. And it was crazy.
Yeah, it was fucked up. It was a great time, but we were all pretty wrecked.
Shit. That was fun. All right. So, yeah, that was going on there.
I was underage. I wasn't even old enough to drink.
Really?
04? I was 20.
Oh, yeah. I was 21. Yeah. That's right. I just turned 21.
Breaking the law.
How'd you get the beer? Someone bought them for you, you fucking asshole, and you're hiding them.
Yeah, and imagine. So, I didn't buy them. Yeah. Well, I paid for them, but.
No, but Nate had like a whole stockpile. His brother.
No, I remember having.
His brother was too young too.
I remember having my own 30 rack. So someone was there of age and bought them.
Marty was of age.
Crofton
wasn't. Right.
He was. He's.
I stood behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nate was of age, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot who else was there.
Oh, a shit ton of people. But anyway, you guys don't want to hear about that, but. Yeah.
Sorry.
We did what all you guys probably did too if you were that age too. Oh, you didn't give a fuck because Carolina Panthers and New England Patriots back in 2004. Jake Delhomme. Maybe people were rooting against the Patriots already.
Yeah.
Because they didn't go back to back. They won and then they were out and then they came back, right?
And they won back to back, right?
Then they won back to
back. The Rams didn't make the playoffs. They went 9-7. Then they beat the Panthers.
And then the Eagles the next year. Yeah. We were at Scotty's for the next one.
Yep. Then they were out in the playoffs, and then they lost to the Giants.
And then fucking taking forever to win another championship.
Yeah.
But always good. Always good through all those years.
1-3, lost to 1-1, loss.
Lost to the Giants twice, and then
came lost back. To the Giants twice. Won twice, lost 1-1 once.
I thought you said the twats. lost to the twats twice.
I'm not good at talking. Here I am, doing a podcast.
All right, so my next line says, Goldberg doesn't find that funny. But I did. I like that line. So anyways, he goes, you know, coach, I don't think I made myself clear. You see, I don't give a damn what anybody says. I still got my ticket. I'm still going the way out. And oh, yes, Brock Lesnar is still next. Ugh. I know I named this episode Who's Next, but I'm so sick of hearing Who's Next.
Yeah.
Who's Next? Hey, Jade Cargill had a promo on AEW.
Yeah, I saw it. I think she's awesome.
Yeah, she is awesome. She is awesome. But she said, who's next? And then she came out with a line right after that. It said something like, who cares? I forget exactly what it was, but she brought up the who's next and then like paused and then had a follow-up with like, who cares?
Yeah.
I think it was that. I might be wrong, but that's what I think she said, and I thought it was fucking great. It's like, ah! She said the who's next, and got people like, oh, she said that. Maybe I was just thinking that because I've been fucking watching this shitty Goldberg shit for a while. Then she laid that on us, and I was like, ah, fucking pretty cool. She's damn good. For such a jack chick, she's got a cute-ass face. Can't deny it.
Yeah, I think she... I don't say this lightly. I think she's the most naturally talented female wrestler I've ever seen. Yeah. I think it used to be Charlotte, and I think she's
on Charlotte level.
I think she's even more naturally athletic than Charlotte. She's just stupid intimidating, too.
Ah, man, imagine that, Charlotte and Jade.
I don't think she's as good as Charlotte right now. Not even close. No, but no. I think she will
she be. She has the... She's like Rock in year two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love Britt Baker and all that, but Jade's the... That's a blue chipper.
Yeah, blue chipper, exactly. Like the Rock.
Yep.
If she keeps going at it... Ah, I'd love to see that. But that's what sucks now, is where there's two promotions. Like, you got the dream matches back. And I guess that's kind of cool. Like, oh, I want Jade versus Charlotte, or so-and-so versus so-and-so. You might not get them. Yeah, that's cool. All right, so that wraps up my episode, and JV is going to wrap things up for us. JV is going to head on over to Bakersville, California, for the next episode of Raw. JV, take us away.
All right, so we're at Raw 560, February 16th, 2004. And we're live in Bakersfield, California. This show, well, our coverage at least, is going to kick off about 26 minutes into this episode, and it's basically a recap of Goldberg attacking Brock Lesnar at the No Way Out pay-per-view the night before. So, it's basically, you know, Brock's in the ring, he's provoking Goldberg, who is sitting ringside, because, as you recall, he's got a ticket, so he's there. Brock is basically egging Goldberg on in this, you know, in this recap of No Way Out. He calls Goldberg a bitch, and to sit in his, he says, "You should sit in your seat like the bitch that you are." So right away, you know, one jack motherfucker calling a jack motherfucker a bitch is like two planets colliding. So you know shit's about to go down. So Goldberg, you know, he doesn't really hesitate. You know, he does his thing confidently. He gets in the ring. Meanwhile, Heyman is freaking out because, like, this is going to be a disaster. So Lesnar strikes first. He goes at Goldberg, and he actually gets Goldberg set up for an F5, but Goldberg actually has an impressive counter. He counters the F5 attempt into a jackhammer. Could have been a little cleaner, but for Goldberg, and considering this guy's size, like, these ain't like 2 5'11" guys, like, you know, 180 pounds reversing. These are two fucking like alpha males, fucking like
yeah,
reversing two very big moves. So I thought that was cool. So Heyman starts screaming for security and calls them to arrest Goldberg because, you know, not only does he counter the F5 into the jackhammer, he lands the fucking jackhammer. So Heyman screams for security, calls him to arrest Goldberg, which they do. Goldberg gets arrested here. Which is weird that Heyman has that power here, considering this is a Raw episode, not SmackDown.
No, it's...
That's right. It was No Way Out. Never mind. Take back what I just said. Rewind. So then it cuts back to Goldberg showing up again later in the show.
During the main event. Rather,
during the main event. And spearing Brock Lesnar.
Which allows Eddie to win.
Which allows Eddie Guerrero to win.
Eddie becomes a champ.
I must have fucking deleted it accidentally.
I think it's in the next segment.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. So from there, we cut to an audio segment. So this was a two-part segment, basically. The recap segues into a segment here between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Eric Bischoff. It's about 3 minutes long. So give this audio clip a listen, and we'll be right back to cover it.
See, I give Bill Goldberg a ticket to the pay-per-view. He shows up, he sits on the front row. What does he do? I tell him, don't do anything I wouldn't do. He spears the living hell out of Brock Lesnar. Eddie Guerrero, frog splash off the top. 1, 2, 3. SmackDown's got a new world champion. They got everything in line on their side, but what about our side, Eric? Right here on Raw, what do we got? I need an opponent for Triple H at WrestleMania. You got Shawn Michaels, you got a Chris Benoit. What's it gonna be? And I need an answer.
I'll figure it out, Steve. Just give me some time.
You want me to give you time?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll give you some time. How about if you figure this out before the end of the night? You figure this out, you give me an answer, you solve the problem, because if you don't figure it out, Eric, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be in clear violation of Stone Cold's law. So that means if you ain't got it figured out by the end of the night, I'm going to drag your little carcass to that ring, and I'm going to stomp a mud hole in you, and I'm going to walk you dry. Do I make myself clear?
Crystal.
Eric! Eric! Bischoff! Hey, this crap with Mick Foley and...
All right, so... Again, Austin is backstage with Bischoff watching this recap that I just covered. So he's recapping the events and Eddie Guerrero getting the victory, resulting in SmackDown getting a new champion. So Austin's concerned. He's looking over at SmackDown, the other brand, the competition. And he's like, well, you know, everything's in line at SmackDown, you know, for WrestleMania, you know, but not so much here on Raw. You know, we still need an opponent for Triple H at WrestleMania. Austin's telling Bischoff. Now, Bischoff, he's all fucking like down and out. He looks stressed. You know, he's struggling. Eric says, you know, I just need time to figure it out. Austin tells him, I want an answer, Eric, on the main event, on what the main event is going to be at WrestleMania. Otherwise, if you don't, you'll be in violation of Stone Cold's law. So he wants Bischoff to figure this out by the end of the night and give Austin the answer. If he doesn't, Austin's going to enforce the law. Austin's going to drag Eric Bischoff to the ring, stomp a mud hole in him, and walk that some bitch dry.
Yeah, yeah.
So now Austin has Eric's attention. He's like, oh, you know, I understand. And Austin's like, do you understand? Like, do you get it? And he's like, oh, I get it. You know, crystal clear, Steve. So Austin means business. He sees SmackDown's got their shit together. They've got their main event ready. You know, seems like they've got their house in order. Meanwhile, Raw's still kind of a shit show. You got this drama going on again with Triple H, Benoit, and HBK, you know, is Benoit or HBK going to get the title match against Triple H at WrestleMania? So from there, we're going to move to another backstage segment, and we're going to have Stone Cold, Eric Bischoff, and Mr. McMahon in this one. It's about 2 minutes long. Give it a listen, and we'll be right back.
What's going on, Eric? Down in the dumps? Get up. I got something to ask you. Main event, WrestleMania. What are you going to do about it?
I'm working on it, Steve.
March 14th is right around the corner.
I'm working on it, Steve. I really am. I've got my hands full now. I've got girls that want to be on cover of Playboy.
Playboy's fine, but I'm talking about the main event of WrestleMania. I need you to do something. I need you to do it now.
I'll figure it out.
Hey, you know, I was watching the other day. You know I don't watch a lot of TV, but I was watching this. The Monday Night War DVD. Raw versus Nitro. And you made a statement on that DVD. Remember the time when you challenged Vince McMahon to a fight?
Yeah, I do remember that. That
you challenged Vince McMahon to a fight.
I sure did.
Basically, you said you could whip that man's ass.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I think I could.
You think you can?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. You know, first of all, look at Vince McMahon's track record.
Okay.
When it comes to getting his ass kicked, he's the champ. I mean, there's not a lot of guys around who haven't kicked Vince McMahon's ass. Second of all, I'm like 20, 25 years younger than him. He's old enough to be somebody's grandfather. And Steve, when it comes right down to it, it was a real street fight.
Real street fight.
I still got that karate thing going on.
But the karate going, huh?
Absolutely.
You're sitting there telling me man-to-man, face-to-face, you don't make wrestling games.
On a really bad day, I could kick Vince McMahon's ass. Any arena in the country. I mean, it's...
You can what?
Please don't take this, what I said, out of context, Mr. McMahon.
You can kick my ass! I came here tonight because I told you last week if Goldberg showed up at No Way Out, it was going to be your ass. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Guess what? You now have a reprieve. It's not going to be your ass tonight. But next week I've got a blockbuster announcement. As relates to WrestleMania, I'm going to make that announcement here on Raw next week. And I'm going to make that blockbuster announcement in my wrestling gear. And after I make that announcement, I'm going to call you out, Eric. And I guess maybe we're going to find out whether or not you can kick my ass.
All right, so we have three power players here. We've got the fucking owner, the GM, and the sheriff. So, Austin is frustrated backstage on his casting couch. That's what I call black couches that look like that.
Porn couch.
Yeah, it's a porn couch. So, Austin comes in and, you know, asks him, you know, hey, what's wrong? You know, Austin wants his answer. Eric says, you know, I'm working on it, but my hands are full. You know, I have the girls. They want to be on the cover of Playboy, which is a segment right before this.
Mm.
I forget which divas it is. But,
so Tori.
Yeah, that's it. Tori, Stacy Keibler, right?
Yeah. And
Victoria, was it?
Victoria and Jackie.
Jackie Gator. That was the,
Jackie
yeah.
Gator.
Which was a cool segment. So, like... Bischoff's flustered. He's like, he has these girls that wants to be on the cover of Playboy. But Austin doesn't give a fuck. You know, Austin tells Eric, I want an answer.
Now, I fuck too many blonde chicks with big titties. I don't need them anymore.
Yeah. Fuck too many blondes to care. So Austin has the Monday Night Wars DVD in one hand, and he has a Miller Lite in the other, actually. And he refers to having watched the Monday Night Wars DVD recently, which they're pushing this. I remember when this came out, this was like a big thing.
It's a great fucking series, too.
Yeah, I remember. Awesome. Yeah, I think I bought that.
Awesome. I watch it every once in a while on the network. Like,
yeah, when I got the network, I like watched that again.
That's one of the first things I watched on the network. Yep.
Yeah, that's a well-produced show.
Mm-hmm.
So Austin refers to a statement that Eric made, you know, on the Monday Night Wars DVD about challenging Mr. McMahon to a fight. going as far to claiming that he could whip Mr. McMahon's ass.
Slamboree 98, I think. 98. Yeah, 98.
98. Would have been 98.
Yeah.
Eric says, yeah, I think I can kick Vince's ass. Eric goes on to call Vince, you know, yeah, Vince is the champ of getting his ass kicked. And, you know, he's 20 to 25 years younger than older than I am. He's old enough to be someone's grandfather. And geez, in a street fight? Well, Eric makes Austin, you know, reminds Austin that, you know, Eric's got his karate background. Karate Bischoff. You have that figure now.
Yeah.
That's fucking the best figure.
I love it.
Meanwhile, unbeknownst to Eric, Mr. McMahon is creeping up behind him as he's talking shit to Austin. Mr. McMahon cuts him off. You can what? Vince says. And Eric's all flustered like, fuck. Typical.
Shit, I didn't know I was going to call saying that.
Yeah. Eric Bischoff's so good.
Yeah. We say it all the time. He's awesome.
But this was like, because I wasn't as involved. And like, he was really fucking good here. Like, throughout this whole run.
Yep.
So anyhow, Mr. McMahon reminds Eric Bischoff that if Goldberg showed up at No Way Out, it was going to be Eric Bischoff's ass. Now, Vince tells Eric, you know, I have a blockbuster announcement next week, and it relates to WrestleMania. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to make this announcement in my wrestling gear. And after I make that announcement, I'm going to call you out, Eric Bischoff. And then we'll find out whether or not you can kick my ass.
Oh, I'm going to get to cover that one next week.
Yeah, so that should be good. Because I totally forget what direction that goes.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
So from there, we're going to get into a match, which you love this match. You watched the whole thing. I didn't, admittedly.
Yeah, it's fucking a hell of a match.
I didn't have to watch. You see these two names, it's like, of course it's going to be a great fucking match.
It's the first time they've ever had a match either.
Yep. Oh, really?
Yep.
No shit.
It's their first match. It's considered to be one. Like, both of these guys are considered to be the best wrestlers within the last decade and a half.
Yep.
Like, rating-wise, like, you know, this comes from Observer shit that I read. You know, it's all subjective, but...
Well,
people at the time loved this. You know, they wanted this.
Anybody wanted this, in hindsight. These guys were two great workers. It's two of the greatest workers of... I don't want to rank them. Top 5, top 10, top 20. They're two of the greatest, period. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So... I'll get into kind of to like the last few minutes of the match here. So Benoit is going to attempt a superplex off the top rope. Shawn Michaels is going to fight his way out, which forces Chris Benoit to fall to the mat. HBK capitalizes on this opportunity to land a big elbow drop. Always loved his elbow drops on Benoit. But rather than going for the pin, HBK goes into the opposite corner while Benoit is down on the mat on his back and starts tuning up the band. Which, as you know, that's stomping the map, getting ready to fucking hit that sweet chin music on Benoit. So HBK goes for the sweet chin music, but Benoit counters it into the crippler crossface. But it's not really locked in, so HBK is able to kind of wiggle out of it. But Benoit still has control of HBK, and he locks in a sharpshooter instead. Which Michaels has been in that move before. So yeah. HBK is fighting, you know, to kind of get out of it. And not for nothing, Benoit doesn't really have it locked in all that well. So it's allowing HBK to kind of gain some leverage and crawl towards the ropes. HBK gets really close to the ropes, but Benoit drags him back to the middle of the ring. And briefly, Benoit actually has it locked in. Like he's got his ass down on his back. You know, this is
best way.
Pretty well executed sharpshooter here.
Bret Hart would have loved it.
Yep. But because the first half of the sharpshooter was trash.
Yeah.
I hate a shitty looking sharpshooter or Boston crap.
Like a rock shooter.
Yeah. So HBK reaches for the ropes again as he finally gets leverage to kind of lift out of the locked in sharpshooter. And he breaks the hold by grabbing the bottom rope. Both men at this point are extremely exhausted. HBK attempts another super kick, but Benoit counters it impressively, into three rolling German suplexes.
Love when he does that. Great spot.
After he lands the third one, Benoit gets up. He does the throat across the neck thing, like, you know, I'm ending this. And he seemingly starts to head to the top. Yeah, it doesn't age well. Seemingly headed to the top rope for his finisher, you know, the headbutt. But before he can do that, he's distracted by none other than Triple H.
The game. I was going to get involved in the bullshit.
Make this all about me.
My big ass nose.
I'm wearing a DX t-shirt.
I'm finally wearing fucking trunks again instead of long pants.
Making something out of nothing, huh?
Making something out of nothing.
So, Triple H is walking down the ramp. He's got the title over his shoulder. Benoit makes the gesture to Triple H, you know, like the title is going to be his, like he's making the discount double check move. discount double check. Before it was the discount double check. So, but Benoit makes a grave mistake here. As he's done taunting Triple H, he turns around into a super kick from HBK. HBK lands the super kick and gets the three count for the win. So Triple H then makes his way into the ring, and it looks like he's kind of helping HBK out here. He's helping HBK get up. So he helps him get up, but he's not being friendly with him. He kicks him in the gut and nails the pedigree.
Fucking heel.
Triple H is, which, you know, when you see Triple H helping HBK, because we know their background through DX, I forgot where this was going. I was like, oh, shit. Even though I knew, like, after I thought it, I was like, oh, is he going to fucking help him?
Yeah, why would
like
he help him?
Getting together, then I was like, no, because I know what the main event is.
Yeah.
So Triple H's music hits after nailing the pedigree. Both HBK and Benoit are down and out on the mat. But before Triple H can get out of Dodge, Austin's music hits, and he makes his way down the ramp in his ATV. And ladies and gentlemen, the sheriff is here. Now, we got an audio clip for that, as this is going to close out the show. It's about 2 minutes long, and it's the post-match interaction, and it's going to be Stone Cold announcing the official main event for the Raw brand at WrestleMania. Give it a listen, and we'll be right back.
Well, the sheriff is here! Stone Cold Steve Austin!
What the hell else could happen here tonight?
Look out, Triple H!
Now what?
It turns out Eric Bischoff made a decision regarding the world title at WrestleMania, but I guess he was too afraid to come out here and tell you to your face because maybe he might piss you off. But since I don't give a rat's ass what you think, I'll come out here and make an announcement myself. So for the first time in history, the World Heavyweight Championship will be decided at WrestleMania, Madison Square Garden, March 14th, in a triple threat match.
What? God! What? Oh my God!
Triple H versus Chris Benoit versus Shawn Michaels. And that's the bottom line, the Stone Cold said so.
Triple H is beside himself. Triple H can't believe it. Get it right at WrestleMania. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit remain the world title at WrestleMania 20 for the first time in history. Oh my God, King.
All right, so Austin's making his way down to the ring in his ATV, and he does circles around the ring, and he goes to like the ringside where like the bell and timekeeper is, and he actually calls for a microphone. He then rides the ATV back to the ramp where Triple H is, with microphone in hand, and approach and stops in a right at Triple H as he's trying to walk up the ramp. And he's going to have a talk with Triple H. Austin tells Triple H that it turns out Eric Bischoff actually did make a decision about the WrestleMania event, main event. But Eric Bischoff was too afraid to say it to his face and piss him off. But unlike Bischoff, Austin doesn't give a rat's ass what Triple H thinks. So he's making the announcement. For the first time in history, the World Heavyweight Championship will be decided at WrestleMania at the Madison Square Garden in a triple threat match. Triple H versus Chris Benoit versus Shawn Michaels. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. So Austin then exits the ramp in his ATV, and Triple H is left on the ramp in a temper tantrum. And we have a pretty juicy main event.
It is.
For the title setup.
What do you think?
At WrestleMania. At this time, I thought there was no... I mean, I don't even know what the fuck we're supposed to do with spoilers on this show anymore.
Yeah, whatever. Do what you want, but...
Yeah, I'm just going to say, who ends up winning, I did not expect to legitimately have a chance at winning.
Yeah. I mean, people know. Fucking Benoit won.
Guys, yeah,
know.
Benoit fucking...
We'll get to it.
If you're fucking listening to this, and you know Benoit, and you're pissed that we spoiled it, just stop listening to the fucking podcast.
All right, so we know Benoit wins. So bring it up, because the match was...
spoiled shit throughout the fucking 142 episodes anyway.
Of course we have. So, but the smash being brought up here, Triple H versus Benoit versus Michaels, I guess, and I'm asking you what your opinion is on it, but it has to do with star power, right? They want Shawn Michaels in that match, WrestleMania 20.
What do you mean?
Like, Vince wants Shawn Michaels to be in that main event match because it helps with promoting the card rather than Chris Benoit versus Triple H.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, they're selling pay-per-views here. They brought Shawn Michaels back for a reason, and they've been building Shawn Michaels up for a reason for the past few months, because
they could have
want him. Yeah, they brought him back and are paying him to be in the main event of WrestleMania.
They could have had Triple H versus Shawn Michaels again as the main event. Alone.
Right. Yep.
Well, maybe they're thinking that they want to build a star.
I don't know. I think that's part of it. Maybe they weren't sure how much. I mean, Shawn Michaels' track record of trust with the WWE wasn't all that great.
I think they're good at this point.
Right, but his track record, I mean, you're still, his history
mm-hmm.
doesn't help them. So, like, I don't know if this is the reason, but just looking at it from, like, a business and booking perspective, if you're worried about Shawn Michaels pulling, like, a Shawn Michaels, something crazy happening, and you can't show up at WrestleMania. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, at the very least, you have a backup plan. You could do Benoit and Triple H. Right. But now you're selling pay-per-views under the idea to people that Shawn Michaels is going to be in the main event. Worst case, you screw people over. I don't know. But on top of that, like, who wins here? Triple H, you built him. Like, you know what I mean? They've been building Triple H. He's a star now. Whether we like him or not is a different story. But in WWE booking, he's a star.
He's a champ.
Shawn Michaels is a star. So, like, you're going to have a star versus star. Where's the payoff?
Right. And why give it back to Shawn Michaels?
Who you can't trust. Right. I don't think they wanted to keep the belt on Triple H anymore. Obviously, I forget where Triple H goes from here.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Whatever, but, like, I still didn't expect Benoit to win. But to your point, to your original point, yes. I think it was the decision of star power, and then you could dig deeper into see, in addition to it being star power, there are other reasons, there are other pros to this. There are a lot more pros than cons.
Right.
Yeah. And it makes Triple H doesn't look weak. That's why you do a triple threat. There's usually because you're trying to protect
exactly
the champion.
Got to protect somebody.
and it's usually the champ. So, like, you want to protect Triple H. So they didn't want Triple H to lose one-on-one to Chris Benoit.
Oh, we're going to see what the outcome is. Because I don't remember what the outcome is off the top of my head either. Maybe Benoit fucking pins Triple H. I forget.
Well, but even if he does pin Triple H, it's still not like a one-on-one match.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, who does he pin?
Yeah, we'll find out. Because we're going to cover it. I don't want to say it now, because then fucking why not do that? Why do the episode when we get to it? But
I forget. But yeah, he wins with the Crippler Crossface. I just don't remember on who.
I can't think that he's going to beat Shawn Michaels.
But right, doesn't he win with the Crippler? I would have think it was Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels taps.
Fuck.
Which could play into him not being able to get the Crippler. Like, maybe that is how it plays out. I forget. Because he did just try to apply the Crippler Crossface on HBK in the match I just covered, but right. Isn't able to lock it in. I have a hard time believing that it's Triple H that. I know he makes someone submit. I'm like, I'm 100% sure of that. He wins with the Crippler Crossface.
Like I said, I don't remember.
Just so I know.
I'm looking at Wikipedia, too. And it says, Chris Benoit defeated Triple H and Shawn Michaels by submission. Does he put them both in the fucking Crippled Crossface at the same time? Is that what happened?
Aftermath. I'm not going to say it, but I just...
Yeah, we're going to cut the shit out of the episode.
Yeah. Well, they know who wins, but yeah, like, I'm not going to
get... We don't know. We fucking forget.
Here we go now.
Holla if you hear me flow.
Oh,
that's ECW. Okay.
I don't know. I don't want to tell people if I'm right or not.
Well, I already brought shit up.
I know the answer. I'm right.
Okay.
He wins by submission. No. I'm just going to say he wins by submission.
Yeah, no
I'm
shit. I just said that.
Oh. Oh, it's...
Did he won by submission?
Oh. Triple H taps.
Yeah. Okay.
which is surprising.
Which goes against what you were saying.
Yeah, I can't even picture that. But I knew he won by submission, but I cannot picture it being Triple H.
Yeah, so to go back to my point, it's like Shawn Michaels is there for star power. Because if it was Benoit versus Triple H, who gives a fuck? But if it's Triple H versus Shawn Michaels versus Chris Benoit, then okay.
And listeners that know the answer when they hear us do this shit must be like, it's fucking this. Because I do that when listening to podcasts.
Yeah. They're yelling. They're screaming.
I'm like, how do you not know this? That's the answer.
Yeah. No, we're going to get, Frank Gallows is going to message me like halfway through listening to what we're saying.
Yeah.
And be like, how'd you not know that?
Because we're idiots, Frank.
And then we're going to get to it. And then he's like, oh, yeah, they got to it.
Because I have a terrible memory, Frank. My memory sucks.
Nah, me too. Well, my memory is pretty good, but I can't fucking
think. Ugh, mine isn't.
And I purposely not try to watch anything that we're coming up with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, since we started this, I try not to watch what's coming up within the next year or so. Like, when we started in 96, I'm not watching 97. Because I don't want to know yet. I want to build up to that.
Yeah.
So I'm not watching any 2003, 2004 within the last, probably fucking forever. my story, I've been trying to catch up with what I didn't watch when I stopped watching wrestling in 01. So I watched like 02, 03, and then we started to get to it and I stopped. Now I'm caught up. I'm like past what I should be watching because I was watching Raw and SmackDown, but now since we're only covering Raw, I'm like, caught up with Raw, but there's a bunch of SmackDowns that I haven't watched because we just skip over them now. And I was all caught up, so now I need to watch a fucking bunch of SmackDowns on my own. So I can watch, like, John Cena shit in the end of 2003 and early 04. Alright, so anyway, enough of that bullshit. We just carried on for a while. JV covered. Nice episode there. Shawn Michaels versus Chris Benoit. Check that match out. It's a fucking hell of a match. If you want to watch that, whatever your fucking view is. But it's an excellent wrestling match. Check it out. And next week, It's episode 143. We're going to continue on. We're going to finish February into March of 2004. And we're on the road to WrestleMania. And as you guys can figure out here, we got some shit building up with Stone Cold, Goldberg, and Brock Lesnar. So, see how that goes. That should have been a fucking triple threat main event right there. But nope. We'll see how it goes. Take a listen to our pals Talking Taker as they give us a nice little rundown of their show, and then we'll be right back with our bottom line wrap-up.
Dead Man Walking.
Hey, Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. This is Alex Dorio.
And this is Travis White.
And we are the co-hosts of the Talking Taker podcast. You have heard us advertised by Mike and JV on the show every single week. And now that we have come to the end of our encyclopedic exploration, digging up the dead man after 187 episodes, 3.5 years, we just want to send a big, big thank you to Mike and JV and to all of you guys for listening and supporting the show after all this time.
Yeah, we thank you guys so much. Thanks for the support from your, Mike and JV and all of their fans. And as always, take her easy.
Now get the guns, the drugs from my generation. I'll take the fall, the saints, and across the nation. And it's a sin, the guns, the fate, the fraud, they're messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out.
Move to the music, play that fucking music.
All right, let's get into our podcast plugs. First off, of course, you just heard him, Talking Taker. And Talking Taker is a podcast that is covering the career of The Undertaker. And they've basically wrapped it all up. They've covered the entire career of The Undertaker pay-per-view by pay-per-view match. And this month, as they have been doing since they've wrapped up the career of The Undertaker, they're doing monthly episodes. And their newest episode is covering the Final Four pay-per-view from February 1997. And they're watching along with Tommy Watchalong. You know, Watchalong Tommy. Good friend of our show, too.
Yeah, cool guy. I see his tweets all the time.
Yeah, great guy.
Oh, he's a listener, too?
Yeah.
Because I know he has his own podcast.
Yeah, his own podcast, his own channel. Listener to Talking Taker, listens to us. Cool guy.
Yeah, very, very cool dude.
And he joined Talking Taker to watch Austin versus Bret Hart versus Big Van Vader and The Undertaker at Final Four. That's a hell of a match, and I think it's probably Vader's best match in WWF. Definitely worth watching. Also, check out Booking the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast, where they are every Thursday covering NWA World Championship Wrestling, the Saturday night show, 605 show. And at this point, they're in 1990. It's September 29th, 1990, and they're on the build to Halloween Havoc 1990, where Sting is going to encounter the Black Scorpion. What a fucking lame gimmick that was. But that was fun nonetheless. Also, check out Our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast with Joe Morata and Michael Quinn. This week is episode 260. It's the end of their season. And their opening segment is going to be The Jump, where one wrestler jumps from one company to another. And this week is the big one. It's Hulk Hogan, who jumps from AWA to WWF, and then WWF to WCW. So that's Hulk Hogan's jump. And then in their Royal Rankings, week 5 of the worst Royal Rumble matches ever, it's 2011, the 40-man Royal Rumble, Boston, Massachusetts, where Alberto Del Rio won.
Oh,
I hated that one.
That sucks.
And then this one, I don't know why this one sucks. I guess it sucks because the winner, but it's the 1989 Royal Rumble, where how could you go wrong with a 1989 roster in the Royal Rumble? Even though it didn't mean shit, if you won, you didn't get any fucking prize, you didn't win the title, you don't get a title shot, whatever, I get all that. But it's the beginning of the Royal Rumble. How can you be mad at it? But this one got put in there for them to rank. It's 1989. Big John Studd wins the Royal Rumble. That's probably why it got put in there, because most people probably think, oh, Big John Studd won? That sucks. Who's going to win that? Who's going to win? You know, whatever. Who cares? It's a fucking gimmick match. And then from there, they do their final review segment. And always on their last episode of the season, they do a non-wrestling review. Wrestling kind of related, but it's the it's a review of The Grudge Match, which was a TV game show, which was hosted by Steve Albert, which is Marv Albert's brother, and Jesse the Body Ventura.
Marv Albert?
No Marv shit. Albert's brother, Steve
yeah,
Albert.
Yeah, I didn't yeah. know that.
Yep. And
Does
it was
he sound like him?
Yeah, he pretends to sound like his brother.
Wannabe.
Yeah.
And, my brother's a success.
And that's from September 1991. And if you go to OVP's YouTube page, they posted the episode, so you can watch that if you want. I don't know if you want to watch it. I tried watching it for like 10 minutes. I was like, all right, I get it. It sucks. But it's funny. It's a 1991 game show. So check that out. It's Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. And of course, check out our friend Jay Free on For Your Geek, as he is covering pop culture, comics, TV shows, everything that's streaming in the world of geekdom. So check out Jay Free on For Your Geek. His latest episode has to do with Spider-Man and Hawkeye, and I'm sure he has new episodes coming soon. So check out
For Your Geek. Yeah, he just dropped one today.
Oh, he did. Do you know? You remember what it is? Because I didn't see it.
I believe it's an interview. It's an interview with somebody. I don't know who the person is, but it's an interview. I think it's like a fitness interview.
All right, so cool. He's got a new episode out there. Check out Jay Free. And speaking of Jay Free, he did an episode with us a while back on the Extreme ECW Livecast, which we've mentioned numerous times. But just a reminder, guys, the Extreme ECW Livecast is now available. If you're not a BTT Patreon subscriber, our early episodes are now available, and the first 11 episodes are out there. Okay, and the latest one that I dropped this weekend is with Jay Free. So Jay Free was a guest on episode 10 of the Extreme ECW Livecast. That was in September of 1993, when Shane Douglas made his debut and Joey Styles first made his arrival on the show. So Jay Free was part of that. So, you know, check out Jay Free, check out the Extreme ECW Livecast. And, you know, speaking of that, we got to get Jay Free back on a new ECW episode.
Yeah.
Because I was just listening in on that episode, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm not familiar with this, but I love the latest stuff. It's like, shit, we got to get him back. Ask him.
I see him like almost, I see him at least a few times a week in the morning. So
I'm sure he would definitely want to be in on a 95 episode that we're covering now. So with that said, you know, currently JV and I are now in 1995, and our latest episode is June 20th and 27th of 1995. And we're going to do a Supercard special coming up, Heatwave 95. So that's going to be available within the next week. So check that out. It's Extreme ECW Livecast. You can follow us on Twitter, at ExtremeCast. So that's all plugs, guys. Thanks for listening, as always. JV, any final words as we head on out of here? All right, time to go. So long, guys. Thanks for everything. See you next time.
And that's the bottom line. As far as I'm concerned, this shit's over with, so get the hell out of here.